What's up? It's been a while since we've been on, but we're here to recap week 17 in the NFL and possibly some bowl games. If you want to recap that, as well as some pretty exciting ones happen. We had the Pop-Tart Bowl, which was bowl of the year, best bowl game of the year so far. Pretty exciting, including who got cooked at the end. Weird post-game celebrations all around for that game, but I kind of dug how awkward it was. It was only fitting to end this year with stuff like that. And week 17 definitely did not disappoint with Monday Night Football. Falcons coming away with a big dub against the LA Rams. All these teams, man, with nothing to play for, just showing out in the last few weeks of the year. I fucking love it, because where was this gameplay early in the year? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But they do it. It's like, this is how they should have looked 6 weeks ago, being competitive, and they just showed out. There was a lot of examples of that this weekend. Lots of good stuff. I'm not surprised by this outcome, by the way, the Falcons winning at home 27-24. It did get exciting. It looked like a blowout in the beginning, but Rams came back a couple times, and then nice 51-yard field goal to kind of cap off a nice big win. Not to end the year yet. It's not over yet, but 7-9, definitely a lot better than what they were heading towards. So thoughts initially on this Monday night game before we recap the rest of what happened this weekend since Christmas. It was Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 4 days of games, or a 5-game stretch. Pretty intense with some college football in between. A terrible fight. Jake Paul, I believe, was in there as well. Don't know. Everything's kind of a blur. And then I'm dealing with my own fights on my side of the world as well. So I'll bring that up as well.
Was the Jake Paul fight since the last time we recorded? It's been that long?
No, we recorded last Monday, right? So that Jake Paul fight was on that Friday.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
I was like, I knew it had been a while. You know, we took the Christmas like a break time, a little bit, but yeah.
Wasn't sure.
I mean, it was a terrible fight, and, you know, just a disgrace to boxing overall, but.
I agree with that, but I mean, you know, once Jake Paul decided to fight, he broke his jaw, so, yeah.
Good. I'm happy he broke his jaw.
I did see the guy that won, he was in an accident, and was it Nigeria today, or yesterday?
Yeah, that's where he's from.
That killed a couple people?
Yeah. His trainer and somebody else that were in the front seat of the car.
Really? Is his trainer?
Yeah, I forgot who it was, but it was two people close, like two of his best friends and two people that were close to him as far as his training camp.
Damn, that's rough. That is
funny. Yeah.
Christmas, man. Interesting time of the year. I'll get into my stuff later on, the drama that I've been dealing with. But thoughts on this Monday Night Football game?
You wanted to start the podcast, I think, about an hour ago, said it was a boring game, and I just didn't know. You know, I know some of us out there have YouTube TV. There's a little bit of a broadcast delay. Wasn't sure if, you know, you're maybe a half hour behind or something, understanding maybe you're at halftime at that point. But, I mean, you texted us, and, you know, I was dancing on the Rams' grave a little bit because I got a lot of Rams fans in my life and a lot of crap they're talking over the Bears losing. Oh, yeah. I mean, down here, there's a bunch of Rams fans. And, you know, they're talking a lot of crap after the Bears lost to the Niners last night. And I think
that was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I don't know, man. I can't.
It was a good game.
It was a good game. It was just about the Bears lost. And it may be because I have some bets over. It was NFC West versus NFC North now. And so now the West is probably going to have a better record than the North. But besides that, Ram, at the time you texted us, Rome, the Rams block a field goal, take it back all the other way, only down 24-17, erasing some of that deficit. I didn't hear. I think his tool was tied, Aaron, where the broadcast actually brought up this is like the biggest comeback on the Falcons since the Super Bowl versus the Patriots at a certain point. But yeah, an entertaining game. I think Aaron and I can't remember your pick, Romans, but this was we were figuring this is going to be a Rams kind of cakewalk. They have the opportunity to potentially get the number one overall seed that was out there. And now with this loss, they still got the opportunity, I think, for the 5 seed, depending on what happens next week. But I think their biggest lock is potentially in the 6. So, I mean, just a lot in the playoff implications from a team, the Rams, that statistically, you know, top team in the league. They got one of the best offenses and one of the best defenses. Rome, you had them at the top of the power rankings in your world, you know, a good portion of the past maybe month and a half or so. And so them losing against the Seahawks in that comeback, and now this loss against another lowly NFC South team, you know, you think, remember, they lose to the Panthers a month or so ago. This is a team that should be, you know, Super Bowl contender. Vegas had them as the favorites for the Super Bowl, you know, maybe for the past month. And now they're going to finish like third in the division probably at this point.
I love it.
I mean, it's a lot of implications on this game, right? I mean, the Rams, like Jason mentioned, still had a shot at outside shot at the one seed, still a shot at the five. That's if Seattle happens to beat the 49ers, then the Rams would go to five, Niners go to six. I mean, the other thing here is if you're the Rams and the Niners do win and you get the six seed, you're going back to Philadelphia more than likely. And Philadelphia's kind of been one of the kryptonites for the Rams over the last couple of years. Obviously, beat them twice last year, beat them in the divisional game. I think another team that we didn't even mention, the most happiest team tonight, Carolina. Because if Atlanta happens to win on Saturday, no matter what Carolina does, they are basically...
They're in.
They're in.
Yeah.
So they are in the playoffs. And I think the Falcons are going to beat the Saints. And I believe that's what's going to end up happening. And Carolina's going to get that number four spot and likely host either the Rams or Seattle.
Be kind of cool.
My Panthers pick at the beginning of the year didn't look as bad at this point. Although I was wrong. They said they were going for the seventh seed. They're going to get the fourth seed.
Yeah, you're off, dude. You undershot them a little bit. They're going to get the fourth seed at
unless the Saints, the hottest team maybe in the NFC right now, happens to pull off another victory over the Falcons. You never know. You just never know.
Well, this is a little bit of, the Falcons team you expected all season, but it took, yeah, you know, huge game from Bijan, got serviceable work from Kirk Cousins in the game.
Yeah.
But
he's had quite a few at down the stretch here.
Defensively, I think that was the more impressive thing for the Falcons in the first half, where, you know, this is a Rams team. I think it's top three in the league or something from an offensive standpoint. And the Falcons D hasn't been great the entire year, but they really showed up here. You saw Xavier Watts, Notre Dame alumni, you know, make some big plays in this game. And I think that was the encouraging sign for the Falcons, is that you had all this talent we talk about on the offensive side, but the defense really kind of stepped it up here in a way, you know, late in the season to do that. So I don't know, an interesting, a lot of implications, but yeah, Aaron probably highlighting, you know, the more interesting and not interesting portion of an 8-9 Panthers team playing for nothing here versus the Buccaneers. And, you know, we were, what, 5-6 weeks into the season talking about Baker in the potential front runner MVP and, you know, Buccaneers running away with this division, you know, run away for the division. And now they're up into a collapse where it doesn't even matter if they win on Sunday and they're going to lose.
This is why I hate talking about how good teams are in the first 4 weeks. I hate it every year because it always catches us. And this year we had a couple of them. We had the Bucks, and then we had the Colts. And who else is really brilliant in the beginning? Chargers. They've done okay down the stretch.
Honestly, I think you're right, Rome, but I think that's the biggest thing. You look, and some people don't like this, you got to start evaluating schedules and different thing when you go through team to team. There's two teams I'll tell you that we talked about at the beginning of the year that will probably be better because of the ease of their schedule. One was the Bears and the other was the 49ers. And so the 49ers, with all the injuries they had, they're going to collapse and this and that, but they had manageable games in their schedule and didn't play a bunch of tough games in a row in the middle of the season, and that was there. Versus some of these teams, you know, you get a backloaded schedule, you start playing a bunch of hard teams in a row, or who, you know, whatever happens, and you get a few key injuries and you lose it. I mean, injuries, I think, really well caught up with the Colts. You know, they're trotting out, you know, Phil Rivers and everything else they got going on.
Who's done good? That team, no one could carry that team. That team is depleted beyond repair right now. Rivers is not going to do any better, and I kind of feel bad he came back to such like a lose-lose situation here.
Oh, I mean, they had a shot. I mean, Rivers, I mean, tough spot there in his first game at Seattle. They played a great game. Seattle kicks, what, a 56-yard field goal at the end to win.
Great game.
The following game.
Another good game.
offensively horrible game against the Niners, which the Niners have come back-to-back games. We'll talk about with 40-plus points. But for the Colts, I mean, you guys touched on it probably week 8, 9, 10, whatever it was. He went all in on Sauce Gardner. He essentially only plays one game.
And that was the beginning of the end.
And then he gets hurt. He got hurt again on Sunday, only played the first half against Jacksonville. Wouldn't have mattered anyways because they were out of the playoffs. But, you know, going back to, Rome, you said about the, you know, the Bucs off to that hot start. I mean, it seems to be that NFC South. Last year, remember, Atlanta had like a 3-game lead halfway through. They tanked. Tampa got hot. Carolina did not look good. I mean, they had some bad losses against Seattle and other teams. And then they stunned Green Bay. We're kind of like, maybe something here. Maybe Green Bay was just whatever. 13-point
favorites. I remember that game.
Yeah. Then they beat the Rams. And then, you know, all of a sudden we're like, okay, maybe they're back. Maybe they're good. They lay a dud in San Francisco on a Monday night. Look like they're in trouble again.
And that's where you threw them away.
Well, yeah. I mean, I got it. I mean, they've lost now twice to the Saints. They look bad. Yet they look bad yesterday against Seattle. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Both the Bucs and the Panthers just did not have it last week or this past weekend.
But injuries like you guys touched on, especially Tampa, at least the wide receiver room, Godwin, Evans hurt all year. Something's wrong with Baker. You know, I know he had kind of an oblique injury kind of midway through. I mean, they just ain't the same team right now. I think they've lost 6-7.
Yeah.
Regardless of probably what happens against Carolina, Atlanta takes care of business, which I believe they will, but it won't be easy against New Orleans because New Orleans is playing pretty good football. Carolina will be in the playoffs hosting a playoff game.
Well, if Carolina wins, they're in. But if they lose and Atlanta wins, they're in.
Yes.
Bucks have to win. Talking about 40-point games, though, last night, absolute stunner, man. Every week, that seems to we've had like the best game of the season. It just gets better and better. I was kind of surprised how many points the Bears put up. Like, and they just kept it up. And then after that pick six from Brock Purdy to start things off, I was like, oh, shit, you know. Crazy stuff to kind of start things off. He settled down, 2 running touchdowns, 3 in the air, another 5 touchdown performance. Say what you will. I know some of you guys hate on him, but he's playing lights out right now, and he has to because that defense doesn't have a lot of people left. But collectively, as a unit, I thought they've been playing pretty well, but Bears just lit them up yesterday, and it was a fun, one of the most funnest games I've seen all year.
Yeah, completely agree. It was a great game. Obviously a heartbreaking game for me as a Bears fan right at the end, but I'll be honest, when you reflect a little bit about it, I didn't think the Bears were going to win going in. They had a ton of injuries, and mostly his illness going into the game. You know, they had Darnell Wright not even flying out with the team. He flew in the morning of the game by himself. DJ Moore was questionable. Aroma Dunze was still out. And so it was key players for the Bears that were going to be out for this game. And it just feel like one of those games after they clinched the division on Saturday by not even playing because of the Packers loss. And they got all these, you know, this illness and like, man, this is kind of going to be a letdown potentially. And you're right, Rome, that pick six at the beginning of the game, you know, really kind of lit something out. The Niners were able to come back and score. But I mean, just the craziness that was going back and forth between the offenses. This may have been one of the more like complete games the Bears offense have had all season, you know, maybe back to the Dallas game in September. But I mean, there was throws by Caleb Williams, and I know he's got his haters and everything out there, but the bomb to Luther Burden, like, looked effortless. It was all arm, no legs, 50 yards on a, you know, just on a laser down the field.
This guy makes the hardest throws look so easy, and some of the easiest throws look really, really, really hard. It's quite the anomaly, but he's done a phenomenal job, though.
Yeah, I think that's a great assessment because some of these throws just look insane, but some of the easy, higher completion stuff wasn't there. And, you know, it all came down to a play at the end, and I really think it was the drive before of them only getting the field goal and not the touchdown. In that drive before, I was like, hey, we're matching touchdown for touchdown, and the Bears having to settle for a field goal really set up. I'm like, man, when they kick that field goal, I'm like, this is going to end with having to score a touchdown, and exactly how kind of it finished. The Niners covered it well. There was a very glimmer of opportunity for Caleb to complete that scramble there on, you know, to end the game. But it was
social media was burning him today, and I'm just seeing like, dude, like this guy was getting chased by like 20 different Niner jerseys going across the field to catch a guy that, you know, allegedly was open.
Yeah, the route that White ran, like he ran the other direction to the additional play and then came back and like was between three Niners. Like it was a very difficult throw Caleb was falling backwards on it. And so I think overall it was just a tough, it was a play before the hook and ladder. I think they were thinking that was going to be the touchdown.
That was Swift, a good play. I was kind of surprised that they stuffed it out.
Swift couldn't, get in. I think that was the one that you wouldn't be surprised for the touchdown. And them stopping them just really left kind of the Bears reeling a little bit to have it just one play, game on the line. I don't think there's anything, honestly, Rome, that you can say for 50% of social media out there that's going to make people on Caleb's side for anything. There is instant doubt on everything he does. But I think in the Bears universe, this is the best quarterback the Bears have ever had. Like, it's just
one thing I will say. On social, there has been like a change of tide on the comments from Bears fans. Before, all the Bears fans were talking shit on how this guy paints his nails, this guy's really sassy or whatever the hell he is, allegedly. Stuff came out this week now that like he might be actually dating a girl. So everyone's like, oh, he's not gay? All right. And now the Bears fans are like, who gives a shit if he's gay or not? He's our quarterback. And like, it's like a complete 180. Like, they don't care at all. Paint the nails, come out in a dress. As long as you're making throws like that, that's our quarterback. And I'm just, it's been like a fun progression to see, like, especially like the past month, like Bears fans are all in now.
Even
the highest doubters.
They are, but I wouldn't say that was in the majority of people doubting. I think there was a lot of belief in Caleb of being the guy, and especially what they got him. There was a very small contingent that was the Justin Fields truthers out there that still feel to this day that they should have kept Justin Fields, traded the Hall, drafted Marvin Harrison Jr. in that draft, and like everything. There was like the Hall is everything they talked about, what they could have got for the Caleb.
I think this year put a cap on the Justin Fields conversation.
It did, and I think that's the minority now coming to around. But I think the non-Bears fans still have questions about Caleb. Is he the franchise quarterback? And like we've talked about this podcast a lot, there's a rankings from probably, I don't know the exact, but hey, 6 through 20 in this league, there's a very thin margin between quarterbacks, and it depends on coaching, roster, situation, all that type of stuff. Caleb's got the opportunity now, like, hey, talent-wise, defensive coordinators, head coach really think this guy's got top 10 talent in the league. There's things on completion percentage, like you said, the easy stuff, him making it look hard. That's what he needs to prove on. But he's in year two, and there's the progression. There's comparisons. I don't know if we shared this of Caleb in year two versus Josh Allen in year two. There's a ton of comparisons in those statistics. However,
people wanted to dump Allen really quickly, but yeah,
they did. Now, on the flip side, I don't agree with this. There's a lot of comparisons between Caleb year two stats and Mitch Trubisky.
And Peyton?
No, Mitch Trubisky.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. They're very similar.
Yeah, so I guess it could go two ways for Caleb out of this. Is it going to Josh Allen and, hey, you're perennial MVP, or it's Trubisky? Because this does Bears' first division title since 2018. That was the Matt Nagy year where the Bears had the double doink. That was the most successful year the Bears have had the last 20 years. That's what you can point to as Trubisky's best year. But I think Caleb is above that. This is just scratching the surface of what this offense can do. Luther Burden in that game, massive game for him and what he could be. And when you start getting some different pieces offensively, Colston Loveland, I think a lot of questions why the Bears drafted him. That was coming up. So great, great showing by the Bears. But the Niners, to your point, Purdy in that game, I think was super impressive for whatever you want to say about another person who gets a lot of doubt. The thing most impressive in the game, and I was scared going into this, and in our picks, we didn't post them on socials or the podcast or stuff, but I picked the Niners because this is the offense that I feared for the Bears, was they don't get a great pass rush with four, and Purdy gets rid of the ball quickly and hits the Bears in certain spots in their zone, and the Bears are all bend but don't break, and when they bring the blitz, they're exposing it, and that really lit it up. They were able to do this, and that's scary for the playoffs because I think both the Niners and the Rams are tough matchups for the Bears because there's accurate quarterbacks who get rid of the ball quickly, versus some of the others that hold where the Bears can feast.
Purdy's decision making, that toe, he had some nice scrambles when things were just breaking down. He used his feet all at the right time, got nice pickups. It was really nice. It's just as good as he's played ever since he's taken over the starting job here in San Francisco. We'll see what comes out, man. Big games, week 18. Aaron, you haven't talked a little bit. You want to talk a little bit about the Bears 49ers game, or should we start recapping some of the other stuff?
No, I mean, I think you guys hit it right there. I mean, like you said, Rome, Brock Purdy, nice game. I think that toe was like you mentioned, Rome. I think it's the best Brock Purdy's looked. I mean, he's always, you know, had a lot of weapons around him. And you got to mention
without the weapons.
Yeah. I mean, he's getting some guys back. Jennings, Ricky Bursall, those guys. Tonjes. I mean, Tonjes has been a pretty solid tight end with Kittle out this year. CMC, he's been good. Had another good game. But yeah, I mean, his ability to run around, keep plays going. I mean, that play where he kind of juked two guys, threw it to the fullback there for a touchdown was a big play. So
nice.
He rushed in two scores. And again, like Caleb, Bear fans, of course, are going to love him. If you're winning, no matter what town you're in, everybody loves you. As soon as you start losing, then they jump off the bandwagon. You know, I don't know. The Bears, they obviously didn't watch the game film last week. You cannot play zone defense against Brock Purdy 100% of the time. He will eat you for dinner. That's what he did to the Colts. That's what he did to the Bears. Seattle's a different animal. That should be a great matchup because Seattle will give you so many different looks, and they will challenge the wideouts on the outside, something the 49ers have not had. They've only punted two times in the whole month of December, which is crazy. Sounds like the Colts the first 4 weeks of the year where their punter was like basically on vacation. So we'll see what happens here. It looks like if the Bears are going to need a win to keep that 2 seed over Philadelphia, which means they'll match up with Green Bay again. That'll be a hell of another matchup. Pick 'em game could go either way. Niners, obviously, they would love to win because if not, they got to go to Philadelphia. You don't want to play that defense out there in the cold. Brock Purdy has some bad nightmares against those guys. Oh, the teams that, you know, like you mentioned, Rome, Philly's getting hot. And the Rams, you know, kind of a little cold streak here. We'll see what ends up happening with them. Playoffs are going to be interesting. Green Bay, we'll touch on that game, but that was an embarrassment on Saturday. So.
Dude, ass whooping of the week. I think that was going to be my nominee. I wrote that down somewhere. Pats, Jets, but I think just the Ravens, Packers, it was just no effort. It just looked like no effort. Speaking of no effort, my Steelers looked like they had no effort as well. Rodgers looked washed on those last two drives. And although my daughter was with me, we broke protocol. I kind of gave her a hard time. She took off the jersey so we could take Westy out on a walk. It was a beautiful day out there because it was raining really hard. We were in the storm the last few days driving around. Hung out the park a little bit, and I'm watching the final minutes tick away. And I'm like, God damn it, we're not on the fucking couch. You don't have your Steelers jersey on. She's like, what, they're losing? I'm like, yeah. And then,
so this is like at the end, Rome, not before the start of the games. This is at the end.
She had the jersey on. It was a tough game anyways. She was watching a lot of it. It's just...
It was an ugly game to watch if you're a Steelers fan.
We finally got to. So
I think that's what happened. She got tired of it.
She did get tired of it, actually. She was watching it.
I don't want you to blame your daughter on this, room because I think Myles Garrett may... I know. I want to say Myles Garrett said, I believe, in the post game, questioning whether the Steelers lost the game because they were more concerned about not letting him get a sack versus winning the game.
Oh yeah.
I agree with that.
Like they talked more about that on social media than anything else. I was actually irritated about it. Like, who cares?
I mean, the biggest missing guy was DK. I mean, if DK's there, they win that game. So, I mean, obviously, Ravens might be they might be paying that Lions season ticket holder his season tickets for the next decade if they get in the playoffs, because he did them a favor getting him suspended for this game as well.
Is he like the guy from Major League too? Just in the cab.
I'm about to watch this movie again.
Major League Two. It's Randy Quaid, the actor that played the guy, but I mean, he's going after I guess it's not the perfect analogy because he was heckling his own team on this, but for someone to get under the skin so bad of a fan like that, I mean, just like, you know,
Randy
just,
Quaid,
but this is multiple years running.
Since he was in Seattle, yeah. But quick little detour here: Randy Quaid in the National Lampoons with Chevy Chase, him being the brother-in-law. Yeah, just Christmas gets vacation underneath my skin so much. Like, I can just see, like,
I love
Chevy
that
Chase does like the perfect like disappointment look after look. It is just so good. And my daughter loves that. He's like, let's watch the movie with the funny guy. It's Chevy Chase.
It's an acting masterpiece by Randy Quaid in that one. Just
I can't believe it. He fucking nails it. Good job. So I got my daughter All right. So we got Steelers, Ravens, ass kicking of the week, Patriots. Anybody else for ass kicking of the week? I think that's pretty good, huh? Bengals, Cards. I didn't watch any of that game.
Yeah, I didn't either. I don't know how you don't give the ass kicking of the week though to the Patriots. I mean, that game was over in the first quarter, basically. I mean, they were trying to get Drake May the MVP in the first half. They're like, we're just gonna let this guy run it up.
Dude, I was about to put it onto my four, and then I just saw the score. I'm like, what the hell? All right, I guess I'm not gonna put it on afterwards. So I watched every other game that I was in that time.
It was. What, 35-3 at the half?
It was like
21-0 in the first quarter.
I think that's when I saw it. Yeah, 21-0, and then I was like, forget it, I'm not gonna watch it. This game's over.
It's another thing about, I saw this stat today with the Patriots though. I think the Patriots are a very good team, but there was a stat of Drake May has one win versus a team above 500 this year, but Jackson Dart has two.
Well, I mean, the Patriots, this is what, the easiest schedule in the NFL since 1999?
Something
is that
like
what
that.
They're saying?
Yeah. Since the Rams in 1999, this is the easiest schedule.
They're undefeated on the road. 8-0 on the road.
But they do have road wins at Baltimore and Buffalo.
They do.
So I'll say that. But yeah, their schedule has been extremely, extremely soft. I mean, they had a stretch where they had New Orleans, Tennessee, Cleveland, and Atlanta when Atlanta was dog shit. That was like a four-game stretch for them. So,
well, that's the problem, you know. Like, you know, it's just we've had a few more of these this year where you get an easier schedule this year, so it might be like a little bit of fool's gold. You just don't know how things play out. They could probably come back to reality. They could have like a relapse, you know, like the way the Washington Commanders have had, you know, where everyone's just injured and they didn't actually get younger at all when they had a really old defensive unit there. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens next year.
It'll change. You'll see a lot of different ones. I mean, you look at the Rams, Niners, like they had an easy schedule this year. They're playing NFC South, I think an AFC South, something like that. So they just get the who's who of, you know, below 500 teams for whole divisions, basically, in their schedules this year. So, I mean, the schedule plays a factor, but I think you're all like, when you look at these teams in the top resumes right now, yeah, okay, they all play bad teams because they beat them all.
Yeah. Christmas games. Did you guys like them, love them, or hate them?
As far as having games on Christmas or the two individual games themselves?
Both. I thought we had three games.
Yeah, we did have three.
There was three games.
Felt like about one and a half. Like each game was like half a game where it was good, maybe.
I didn't get a chance to watch anything. I just watched highlights afterwards.
I'll say I like the Christmas Day games, but I'm not an NBA guy. So that's your big thing.
I like the NBA games. I didn't watch NBA games either. I wasn't really a big fan of what was on there.
I watched the NBA. I watched the NBA.
Nice. I liked it.
I liked it better than the NFL on Christmas Day.
Yeah, the Christmas games this year was trash. It's weird. I saw like a little piece of it on like Netflix. I just wasn't feeling it.
I liked the Netflix broadcast. They made everything feel big time. They had, I know it was a little biased. They had my guy Seth Rollins, former WWE champion here on the game analyst. You know, he's turned it into his second career now being an NFL analyst. But I like they had the whole like kind of pregame into the doubleheader type thing out of both games. They had, you know, guys from the team. They had like Clinton Portis and, you know, Emmitt Smith, you know, during the game and live and stuff.
Oh, I totally missed all that.
Yeah, I like how Netflix does the broadcast for, hey, this is our one game a year. It's a big doubleheader. I mean, at the beginning of the season, you would have thought this was a good slate because, hey, Commanders, Cowboys, Commanders were good last year. Cowboys are on the up. Lions, Vikings, both teams that won, you know, whatever, 14 games or whatever it was last year. Like, and Broncos, Chiefs, like, We would have thought that was a big matchup too, you know, potentially for the AFC West crown and the Chiefs falling off the way they did. So I think the games were disappointing, but I think the broadcast, I think Netflix does it right.
I did watch highlights, and the only thing I caught from the Broncos Chiefs is that Bo Nix was barely good enough to beat the third string from the Chiefs. from Lions Vikings, all I basically saw was Brosner, was that his name? He had 3 passing yards, and that was an upgrade over his previous outing, and they still beat the Lions. What the hell did the Lions do?
Jared Goff was bad, man.
I saw the 5 turnovers, and I'm like really curious, like what happened? And then Cowboys Commanders, I did not see anything from this game, highlights wise. So
I think Dak looked good in that game. Kroski Merritt looked really good for Washington that game. I think you're looking for him. But yeah, I mean, overall, it wasn't a great overall football game. Like it wasn't a great football being played, I'll say.
Yeah, I mean, I'll second that. I mean, I thought Netflix did a great job. I liked the end of the game. Everybody got players of the game getting a little tomahawk steak there.
Nice.
At the end. You know, to what you guys said, I mean, the matchups look great coming into the season. Cowboys, Commanders, Lions, Vikings, Broncos, Chiefs, all great matchups. I mean, I don't know if the NFL will start doing it later in the year since Christmas does fall towards the end. Will we start getting games flexed for Christmas Day? It's kind of tough because it's a Thursday, not a Saturday or Sunday night. Tough to do, but maybe something they think about in the future. That way we don't have basically meaningless games. You know, the Lions, what, 6 turnovers in that game. Goff was terrible. Dak looked good. I mean, Broncos barely hold on to win, but yet had 3 times as many yardage, total yards than the Chiefs, who, you know, basically did nothing in that game except just kind of hold on and try to win. But it was a lot of dogs covering on this weekend for sure. But I like what Netflix does. I mean, I like how they got the pregame, everything, the build up to it. I like the coverage of it.
Saturday games. Yeah, Texans, Chargers. Love the Texans that game. Ravens, Packers. Was surprised that the Ravens dominated that game.
I mean, I think it was a lot what you wanted to see the Ravens do a lot of year with Derrick Henry. And, you know, I mean, 36 carries was probably more workload than you probably want to get your running back in a given day. But I mean, I think that's what they're going to have to do, you know, depending on Lamar Jackson's health, if they're able to get into the playoffs. I think you're going to have to ride Derrick Henry. I mean, it's win or go home and potentially coach's job on the line there in that AFC North matchup this upcoming week. But I think the Ravens, you know, definitely found their path in the running game that had been missing a lot of the year.
Telling you, man, I might go to Kalshi and put on a bet of like at least three of the 4 coaches leaving out of that division this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, likely 2 fired. But I mean, Zach Taylor, it's kind of interesting because
let's go. I can see them all go.
Well, someone's going to win the division like Jason touched on, and it's hard to get rid of a guy that's won the division. I mean, there's been a lot of weird stuff coming out of Baltimore, especially on Lamar Jackson. I mean, 1 week it was Harbaugh. Now it's Lamar Jackson is sleeping, playing video games. I guess him and Kyler Murray are playing Call of Duty or something because he can't show up for meetings, they're saying.
Who, Lamar?
Yeah.
Nah. That's I never heard that.
Yeah, that was a big thing that he was, they were pushing team meetings because he was busy playing video games and can't get up in the morning. That was the rumor.
Interesting. Have you heard that, Jason?
I had not heard that, but I mean.
Well, I guess like one good thing that came out of this, like Packers fans had a lot of praise for Malik Willis. They threw him out of the Tennessee Titans.
Malik Willis is going to get paid.
Yeah,
he's about to get paid. They want him to keep him. Hell, they're even talking about throwing Love out and giving Willis a job. Like that's how much they're starting to change tide on this thing.
I know Packer fans who've said since last year that they'd rather have Willis in than Love.
Aaron?
Personally, Willis is quicker, has a better arm, just hasn't seen as much game action.
Well, he was raw. Like everybody knew he was raw when he was in Tennessee.
And Tennessee was, you know, he was what, there 1 year with Vrabel? He kind of was thrown into the mix. He was like the 3rd string quarterback. They kind of threw him out there in 1 game. I mean, he's always had raw talent.
He was supposed to sit.
What round did he go? 2nd or 3rd? Because I remember there was rumors that Steelers were going to take him in the 1st round of that draft class.
They probably should have because they haven't had shit since then.
But maybe that's where he ends up going. Because, I mean, Malik Willis is going to get paid by somebody. It's, you know, some teams are going to need a quarterback. A lot of them do. I don't know if he's going to play this week or not, if they're going to go to, Tune or whatever his name is, and just go to the 3rd string quarterback. But, Rome, I mean, if you're Green Bay, Derrick Henry, everybody knew Derrick Henry was going to get the ball, and you can't stop this guy. I thought it was an embarrassment for the Packers, and not a good look. Not a good look for that team. Everybody was talking about their defensive coordinator getting a head coaching job. That's a joke. I'd probably can his ass after this season, because I knew exactly what Baltimore was going to do. They ran the same five plays. Hand off Henry right, hand off Henry left. Quarterback draw, 5 yard out, 5 yard out. They never threw the ball beyond 5 yards. It was like they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers out there. They didn't do anything right. Green Bay, just an embarrassment game, Rome. That was an ass whipping of ass whippings.
Yeah, I'm not feeling good about your Green Bay team going to the playoffs, man.
No, they're one and done. Well, look, if they do get the Bears, assuming the Bears do beat the Lions on this upcoming weekend, it's a pick 'em game. That game can go either way. No matter how you type it, good or bad, they could play 10 times. They'd still split 5-5. Could go either way. We'll see what happens.
Other games from this weekend. We won't talk about Giants Raiders. I don't see why. Eagles Bills. That was so big, man. Bills had a chance to win it at the end. I don't know why. So I disagree with the 2-point conversion at the end. I was watching that. You're at home. Eagles weren't really moving the ball in the second half. The Bills, their defense is starting to show like another level in the last few games. And then they kind of go for two. Josh did have the guy open, and it looked like he just kind of fell out the wrong way going to the left, and it was just dead. That was an easy two for the win, but you know, I don't see why not just get the extra point and then move on into overtime. Thoughts on that game?
I mean, just offense not getting rolling in the first half. The James Cook, I think, bottling him up from the Eagles D. That's what you see. But I mean, the ending of the game, obviously, we're Josh Allen missing, you know, I guess wide open receiver pretty much to win the game there, Aaron. I mean, that was probably the thing that just that lives with you kind of there at the end of the game, because the Bills had the chance and it was right there for as much as they couldn't get going for three quarters of football. They're able to get back in the game, have the opportunity to win. You have the right play dialed up, and it just came to an execution aspect of it. Like, I mean, those are the margins in which we're dealing with in a lot of these games. I mean, even tonight, we talked about the Monday night game, but man, Stafford misses one of his receivers right there at the end with 20 something seconds left that, you know, changes the Rams' fortunes too. Like, there's these small execution plays where it's the perfect play dialed up, and it comes down to making, you know, the right throw. It doesn't have to be a tremendous throw. I think out of that entire game, it wasn't a very watchable game between those two teams, but to me, it all came down to, hey, this last piece there for Josh Allen missing that throw, the 2-point conversion.
Yeah, I mean, he had him. But Rome, to your point, why'd they go for two? First extra point got blocked. So that's in the back of your head. Hey, we got a kicker that's never kicked here before because our main kicker's out injured. We bring in Badgley. It's windy. It's a tough place to kick regardless. The first extra point gets blocked. I'm pinning the ball in my MVP's hands and saying, go win it. And he had him. He missed him. I'd rather take that chance 9 out of 10 times and give it to a kicker that's never kicked there. Because if he makes that first extra point or it doesn't get blocked, Buffalo just kicks the extra point there, make or miss. They go to overtime or they win. I like the recall. I mean, they know that the chance of them even winning the division, highly unlikely. I mean, the Patriots got Miami this weekend. The way they're rolling should be an easy win for them. So they went for it. Didn't get it. Looks like they're locked in as maybe 6 or 7 seed. We'll see what they decide to do. They could lose outright against the Jets, go back to New England, or happen to find themselves and win, and then they're looking at either going to Jacksonville or likely Houston. So they got a lot of options on their mind. I know the Chargers have already announced they're not playing any starters. So Broncos will win the AFC they already have. They'll be the number one seed in the AFC conference as well.
Yeah, I still like the Bills in the playoffs. They just got again, but just like some weird bumps in the road, you know, getting in. But at least the defense is tightening up, so that's a positive. It's just Allen and Cook on offense. They still don't have a wide receiver. They have like the same issues that the...
Well, they had Cooks, the other Cooks.
Yeah. He had a good game, or he's had a few. They could have definitely used Coleman stepping up this year, but that has not happened.
I think they got to activate Coleman, man. I don't know about you, but they didn't have any team speed or size. They needed that against Philadelphia.
Coleman's not fast, but he has hands. He's just not fast.
But he's 6'4", 6'5". He can box out, he can get position. And when you're playing in sloppy weather games, that's what you need.
There was a wide receiver with the Jets a long time ago that he wasn't particularly fast, but he just had body and he was like kind of elusive. That's who Coleman reminds me of. I'm just drawing a blank. It was like in the mid 2000s. He might have played with the Steelers too.
This guy's talking about like Wayne Krabet or something like that. What are you talking about?
No. Wayne Krabet had no size. That guy was our size.
Man, I'm trying to remember. Like he was decent, but all right. Seahawks, Panthers.
He's really a poor man's Keyshawn Johnson, to be honest. Keyshawn Johnson had no speed, but knew how to run routes and had great hands and was smart.
Yeah, except he's not doing anything with the Bills.
He's missing meetings, and I don't know what else is going on, but I think if you're Buffalo and you put on the tape, I'm activating against the Jets at least. Get him some run.
Dude, I'm activating OJ Simpson. I don't give a shit what your pass is. You're in the game. We got to get to the playoffs. OJ is innocent.
All crimes, right, Rome?
Of most.
One of your worst takes, probably, Rome.
Who wouldn't want to get their own gear back, all right? Can't blame somebody for that. Jack's Colts blowout. That was not surprising. I think we kind of covered it all. We didn't cover the Seahawks, Panthers. I didn't watch too much of this, to be honest with you. Saints, Titans, I didn't watch too much of that either. You guys there?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit. Are you there?
Yeah, you were breaking up. I heard something about Saints, Titans, and Seahawks, Panthers, it looked like.
I also thought you heard Jaguars, Colts was a blowout, and it was a six-point game, so I'm not sure what week you were talking about there.
I don't think it was that close. Like,
it was a pretty close game.
Yeah.
Indy was up at halftime.
Yeah.
Yeah, until the third quarter. I don't know. It just felt like the tide turned big time in the third quarter for me, so I changed it.
It did. I mean, the Jags, though, I mean, looking 12-4, top of the division right now. Who would have thought that at the beginning of the season?
Just Aaron.
I didn't think they'd be that good, Rome. But
good or a little luck or a little bit of both?
I think they're really good, Jacksonville.
I think they're good. I mean, I've been critical about Trevor Lawrence as far as what he is supposed to have been out of Clemson.
Right.
And this has been his career performance the past maybe 6 to 8 weeks or something like that for what he's been able to do with this team. I as much as we've praised, you know, Liam in the running game, he's got that going. I mean, that was really kind of the starting point for how, you know, Trevor's been able to find a lot of different, you know, receivers and really uses legs in a lot of different areas. Like, I mean, Trevor's been really good. I mean, and he hasn't even had, we haven't seen Brian Thomas really been super crazy. And, you know, they don't even have Travis Hunter. Like part of me even thinks like, what if this team didn't draft Travis Hunter and they drafted somebody else that was going to be a little more impactful, because they never really found out what they wanted to do with him throughout the season.
Yeah, that was a fumble. That was a fumble there.
I don't know if it's a fumble yet. We'll find out. I mean, Travis Hunter was having a pretty decent year on offense. I don't know how they're going to implement him on the defense. But, I mean, yeah, Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence, obviously, I thought his game would be a lot better this year of Liam Cohen going there. We saw what he did with Baker. We see what Baker's doing without him not there. Everybody that's had an elite coordinator, Ben Johnson, Liam Cohen, every team they've left has declined, and every team now that they're with, the Bears and Jaguars, have steady inclined and gotten better. So, I mean, to your guys' point, like we talk about all year, coaching matters. And if you got the right coaches, you can take a good player and make them better, and take an average player and make them good. So, but Jacksonville, I think defensively, that's been the key. I think they're number one in the league against the run. So that has been big too, because last year they were ranked in the bottom third in the league, but they're scary. I mean, we saw what they did to Denver at Denver. Looking like they're going to get the 3 seed, which means they will be matching up with Buffalo or the Chargers. And they've got a lot of weapons. I mean, Strange, the tight end, is back. Washington's been good. Jacoby Myers, who they signed to an extension. So their 3 wide receivers are all set for, you know, basically the remainder of Trevor Lawrence's contract. Jacksonville, I think, is a team on the up and up in the AFC, definitely.
All right, so you got Pats, Bills, Steelers and Ravens. Steelers really blew that, man. They could have had their postseason locked in, and now they got to go for it this weekend in Week 18. Jags, Texans. Who figured, huh? Broncos, Chargers. Who's the third team in the playoffs? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Who's gonna get left out, actually?
Steelers or Ravens?
Pretty deep. My daughter's learning the heartbreak of losing at Mario Super Party that she got for Christmas.
Hmm. Is she alluding to you with the heartbreak with the Steelers losing on Sunday night?
It's a family tradition starting on Christmas, huh?
Do you feel bad about the Steelers losing?
No.
No, she's upset about losing at Super Mario Brother, whatever it is. On the NFC, we got Eagles, Bears. Are Packers in?
Yes.
Packers,
no matter what?
They're the 7 seed. They're locked into the 7 seed.
Got it. All right, so Vikings, Lions out. And last place up for grabs this weekend when your Bears face the Lions this weekend, Jason. Panthers, Bucks, and then Seahawks, 49ers, and Rams. What a loaded division there. I read somewhere that Liam Cohen's the first coach to bring a team under 4 wins up to 12 wins the following season. Would the Bears be in the same situation? Do they have 4 wins? They had 5 wins last year.
Bears had 5 wins last year.
Still impressive if they get to 12. They got me beat by 3 games on the over-under, I think. Any other thoughts?
Did the Patriots win more than 4 games last year?
Patriots won 4 games as well.
Yeah, but...
Right, this is the first time ever head coach? Okay.
Yeah. It's not for a season.
New organization.
Okay. Yeah. I have no comments on week 17 besides some really tough losses here. Tough way for the Lions to go out. I still like them, man. I still like them a lot. It sucks not having them in the playoffs. Texans, though, heating up. That's my dark horse, man. That's my dark horse to go deep this year. This might be the perfect year to do it.
Well, Rome, I mean, you called it maybe, 6 weeks or so ago. I think you need to go find your clip and get that out there.
I do.
And Aaron was, posting his call of the of the Lions.
Yeah, I finally saw the clip. What clip you sent? I was like, of course, you're going back old clips. What a lucky fucking take, by the way. All right,
hey, man.
I posted the clip. It was ballsy, but it was also stupid and reckless. And then luckily, it came true.
Hey, you got to take your shots, man. You got to take your shots.
You took
there.
A shot, dude. You took a shot. If you would have gambled on that, you would have made some coin.
No doubt. I mean, no doubt.
I don't think it was a lucky shot. I think Aaron called it. We saw it week one in Green Bay where the team was at. You know, they had a couple, good moments week when the team one. Was super healthy, but, really struggling. I mean, then you see Jared Goff this last season, man. Like, where is this offense without Ben Johnson? A lot of questions.
He had a pretty good year. He just had one bad game. You guys want to throw him underneath the bus?
I mean, they lost 8 games for him. I don't know if you can say he had one bad game.
He had 2 bad. He
had a few bad games. I mean, Packers, this last game, Philadelphia. Yeah, I mean, the Lions, it's going to be interesting who they decide to bring in as offensive coordinator because the Dan Campbell experiment, I don't like it. They need to find an identity there. I do see Mark Brunell still sitting there as what, QB coach?
Well, it's just like the situation that the Eagles had, a couple years ago, right? They had Steichen leave. They took a dump for like 1 year. They tooled up again this year, kind of took a step again. So it's just the ebbs and flow. Looks like the coordinators more recently have had a bigger impact than years past. We'll see who they get.
Well, we touched on it last year, I think maybe towards the end or during the next coaching cycle. I know Jason and I agreed when we said the best coach on that coaching staff's Ben Johnson. The Lions are going to take a step back now. We talked about it last year too. Liam Cohen, is he the best coach on the Tampa staff? Well, they've lost him and they've taken a step back. So when you lose elite coordinators that are, proven to be good head coaches, at least here in year one, the teams that they've left have taken steps back. So it will be interesting to see, like I said, who the Lions bring in. A lot of injuries on defense. That offensive line was kind of banged up too. Goff's getting older. Maybe they're looking for a quarterback here to shore up here.
I think there's still a year or two out for another quarterback. All right. Any other comments? No. What are you guys looking forward to most into week 18?
I mean, you really got one game of significant consequence when it comes to the playoff. It's your Steelers versus the Ravens. And I think we talked about the coaches and kind of jest there, but I mean, you could have changing of an era in one of those locations based on the outcome of that game. You know, does Tomlin, this was kind of his last stand, Rome. I mean, he guarantees you the winning season, but you haven't seen much success much beyond that. And, you know, I wasn't really tracking to the John Harbaugh dislike in Baltimore, but, you know, Rome, you brought that up a bunch during the season where they're at. And so do they need something different
right now?
Yeah. So, I mean, you could have a team getting in and the losing coach, it'd be, hey, we're going to change an end of an era. I mean, I'm not even dismissing it. The thing, even who wins gets bounced in the first round of the playoffs and they still get fired too. And this is the last time, you know, you've seen a rivalry that's gone for, what is this, decade plus? 15 years yeah. This is gone? I don't know.
No, I seriously think every coach in that division's out. I think the odds are pretty good.
I don't know. Stefanski doesn't, he wants to get fired and they won't fire him. So he may be the only one surviving.
I would say this. When it looks too easy,
out of everyone, I could see him staying. Honestly, all of them that makes it alive.
Honestly, I would bet that all stay versus all get fired. I think Zach Taylor's, it's Joe Burrow's about to win three straight. He's shown if he's there healthy, he can win games of them. Stefanski, who wants the job? I mean, nobody wants that job.
Bengals don't fire people either. They kept Marvin Lewis, I think, 5 years longer than he was supposed to be there.
And Marvin Lewis was like 0-5 in the playoffs. He never even won a playoff game. And then I think Tomlin, he's probably going to lose his game. And I think I saw something or been hearing that they can void like $30 to $50 million of DK's contract because of what he pulled.
They said they are.
I think they will.
I heard they said they weren't.
Well, I don't know if they are or not, but if they don't make the playoffs, I mean, they got one guy really to blame, and I think it's DK.
DK.
Because that's a big loss. I mean, they did not do anything offensively. So I think Tomlin, what is it, 19 years winning record as a head coach? I think Pittsburgh's not going to get rid of him.
Dude, it's been nice, dude. But
look, I mean, there's quarterbacks out there. Rodgers gone. We talked about Malik Willis. I think that's a good fit for them if they can get there. And Harbaugh, say what you want. He gets in the playoffs again. They're going to host a playoff game against the Texans, more than likely.
I'll take the Texans all day.
You got to have a big horse. Derrick Henry's the perfect guy to go up against that defense. So it's a good matchup. So I would not dismiss Harbaugh getting canned right off the bat. If he loses this game at Pittsburgh without DK, I would say the chances go up quite a bit. But I'd find it hard to believe Baltimore loses this game with or without Lamar. It'd be tough. Just, I don't know if Pittsburgh has enough offensively to muster a win.
So you guys are going for Baltimore. All right.
Hard. I would bet. I'm betting Baltimore big money line. Don't take the points. Just money line them.
I had Baltimore in the AFC championship game. So that's where my pick was at.
I got in the Super Bowl. So I got to keep riding.
You guys lost those bets already. I got to go back and review what we picked altogether. You guys, I guarantee, have Baltimore in that?
Yeah. I thought it was Baltimore Buffalo in the AFC championship game.
So I
think I had Baltimore Denver.
I definitely had the Bills making moves. So I think I had Bills Niners. That was my Super Bowl prediction.
Possibility. But yeah, going on that game, Rome, I mean, Seattle 49ers, huge. That gets you the bye, the number one seed. And I know we've talked about, you know, Tampa, Carolina is a big game as well. But obviously the game we talked about when we started the show, New Orleans, Atlanta, the game that really could decide that division. Crazy, but Atlanta, if it gets the win, Carolina gets in the playoffs after, you know, basically a 31-0 loss early in the year against those guys, which has her still shaking her head, but could get Carolina in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy. Why do Carolina get in if Atlanta wins?
Because they beat Atlanta twice, and Tampa only beat them once. So out of the three-way round robin, they have the tiebreaker.
That's a crazy tiebreaker, man. That's wild. I'm not hating it. I do like Carolina to make more noise out of all those teams anyways in the playoffs. Like, they have the most potential. When they're hot, they're hot. They could get blown out, though.
I don't know if you could say they're when they're hot, they're hot when they have a minus 67 point differential on the year.
Dude, you see their games?
I don't know when Carolina's hot.
I don't think they get hot. I think they just like they somehow survive and they're just there at the end and something happens.
Was it him and Kayla with the most comeback from behind wins this season? Kayla with 4, Young with 3.
Sounds
Doesn't Young have like 8 or 9 in his career?
In the last 2 years.
Yeah.
No, he has 10 in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He might get another one on this weekend.
I might pick them. I might pick them, and they might disappoint me.
The logic says go with them, but yeah. You got to throw logic out the door in some of these games.
It doesn't matter at the end of the season. All right, cool. I got nothing else to add, unless you guys watched any college football games. Quick little two-minute drill. Nothing. What do you guys think about the new Michigan hire, at least? Huh?
I like it.
It's a good hire.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a 5-year window, but yeah.
Is that all he's giving him, 5 years or what?
Well, he's old.
Well, yeah. Everybody's 66. 66, 67.
66.
Yeah, I think he's got, I think he said 5 years. That's his kind of main plan. That'll put him
this is his last
71.
One. This is his last,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he retire from that? Because I thought, because he straight up.
No, he stepped down and said he was entering the transfer portal tongue in cheek. You know, like he's not done. He's just going to go check out other jobs. Then all of a sudden this job opens up. I have a feeling they had this back channel thing working for quite a while or something. Because for him to step down from a job they actually like.
But when did he step down? Before Sherrone Moore thing or after? Because I don't remember. Like the timing is like around the same. Do you know?
The articles made it seem like he did it before. But the Sherrone Moore thing came out of nowhere, man. It was like December
3rd.
Yeah,
but there'd been
there
rumors.
Were rumblings about it. Yeah.
There was guys that already had inside info like a week or 5 days before, like, hey, something's going to get announced here soon. And then, boom, it just popped in the middle of the week.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, I mean, I know they already had the other coach in waiting. That had already been set up for like 2 years because the defensive coordinator's taken over. So that had already been pre-planned like 2 years ago. And I know since they had such a rough year last year, he didn't want to step down because he didn't want to leave the program on what I think they went like. That was like the first losing year in like a decade for them.
Yeah, and then they
remember,
had a, good year
they
this
had a
year.
Ton of injuries. So
yeah, that's what he said. Yeah.
Well, I guess if I'm looking at this right, on December 12th, he announced he was stepping down from his position. So I don't know.
What was the Sherrone Moore thing on like the 15th?
I could have sworn it was.
It was around the same time. It was close.
Yeah. It was close, but I think because, I mean, there was reports like that they knew about this in early December, even around the Ohio State game, right?
Well, there was some guy on Twitter making rounds about it in October that something shady was happening. Michigan fired Sherrone
on
Moore
the 10th,
December 10th.
So he steps down on the 12th, and he was, I mean, so I think you're right. And there were probably some back channels. I think regardless, it's a good hire. I mean, you get a 5-year window. I think my favorite tweet about it was like he's got X, he follows X amount of people on Instagram, and there's not like one woman he follows. And it's like,
well, I think it's
like,
just what, his wife and his daughter,
his
right?
Wife and his daughter, and like no other women he follows. Like
well,
that,
he has so. Not had like, he's like such the typical opposite because he's had like no controversy. He's
he's the Mormon, right? He's from Provo, Utah, right?
I don't know if Mormons are actually faithful. Don't they have multiple wives?
Well, not this guy, I guess. He's only following one on Instagram, unlike the
Mormons
other Michigan man.
Mormons get too good of a rap, all right?
You can't have 15 wives.
You're suspicious of your own head coach now, right? All right, you're right there. It's too good of a rap.
Well, no. Now it makes sense why Michigan would hire him. He fits in if he's got like 5 wives, according to Rome.
No, like, you know, like this guy's actually like a Midwestern guy, so it makes sense. He has ties. He just never coached there. I think he's played there, like, you know, whenever he fucking played college a long time ago. But like, he has no baggage. And he's just like, brings like a no nonsense approach, which Michigan hasn't had in a long time. So.
Yeah, man, I think it's a really good.
I hope everyone gets fired in Michigan. The AD and everything.
So it looks like he was born here in San Luis Obispo, but he did go to BYU. He's a GA, graduate assistant there. So that's where he went to college. So he's been pretty much in Utah, you know, his whole life there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Michigan hiring a Urban Meyer disciple. and Kyle Willingham. Obviously, Urban Meyer had a lot of success in at Ohio State.
Well, Urban Meyer had a lot of success on and off the field.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And still is. So congrats to him. I mean, that's what winning does. You get some avenues that other people don't. But I think, yeah, I like it as a good hire. We'll see if he can keep Underwood there and keep him there. But Michigan looks like they got the right guy for right now. And we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, I did see Freeman got a restructured contract too with Notre Dame. So he will be staying, not going to the pros. So Jason's got to be happy about that one.
Nice. Congrats. Congrats, I mean, Jason. You're having a big year. The fucking Pope is from Chicago. All of a sudden you have a big
White
year.
Hey, White Sox,
ages.
I saw signed with that Korean guy, Japan guy. Yeah. So it's been a little money.
What a pickup. What a pickup.
The White Sox are just renting him for 2 years until he goes to the Dodgers. They just wanted
it's
the
2 years.
The White Sox are just the Dodgers farm team, so they just want to see can he hit the fastball? That's his biggest thing, that they don't think they can hit the major league fastball. So they're going to work things out with the White Sox, and then he'll sign with the Dodgers for like $1 billion in 2028.
Leave my team alone, guys.
I'm leaving you alone. I'm just telling you. You know, my team's the one that, you know, our biggest signing that is basically the article is writing is like, yeah, he had to sign it to get to the White Sox and slumming it with the White Sox before he signs with the Dodgers. But yeah, Aaron, you're right. The Chicago Pope, my guy, Pope Leo, Bears success. You know, Notre Dame still doing well. I'll be honest, I'm a little
5 out of 6.
I'm a little concerned about the Bulls and Blackhawks, to be honest. We were looking good early, but we're a little bit shaky. But, you know,
dude,
we're making progress.
I love watching Bedard. Like, I'm watching, and I hate you, Jason. I'm watching so much fucking Chicago clips on my social media. I don't know if they listen to this podcast, and I'm just getting a whole bunch of Chicago media. But this past year, like, I get so much Bedard clips. I've been watching a lot of hockey, especially this past year. F1 and hockey have been injected into my life. And unfortunately, since my Lakers are now sucking, I'm not going to be watching a lot of NBA. So, over
Rome,
under.
Rome, I thought you were like all on the fucking Lakers, man. Now,
yeah,
Austin
until LeBron
Reeves
came
is out
back.
For a month.
Well, LeBron came back. He's jacked up the cohesion there. Sometimes he looks like he's showing up. Sometimes he doesn't. He looks like lackadaisical in post game conferences. Reeves is out. Everyone said he's overrated, but he's still balling. Turn out the
Reeves is, they got to be careful with Reeves, man. What, he's got a grade 2 now, calf strain, out at least a month before
it's
reevaluated.
Yeah,
so
no,
he's
got to
be careful,
it,
man. He's sitting at a long contract. I mean, if I'm his agent, he might be sitting out a while. More than
well, the fact that it's always these kind of injuries that lead to those, what, Achilles?
Yeah.
ACL tears? Yeah, no.
And I know J.J. Redick trying to chew a new one in them as well. So Lakers are in trouble. Maybe the 6th best team in the West at best.
All right.
Your NBA guy, soon. He wants to get on the pod. He hit me up last week.
I'm watching NBA. I'm keeping up. I'm keeping up here.
I'm not. It's way low on the priority list. We got a bunch of football. We got hockey. You know, F1 ends, but basketball. We'll get to it. All-Star break, President's Day weekend. That when the NBA starts?
I'll start talking about it after New Year, but.
Yeah, we can start about it here pretty soon.
No, but Thunder look good, but they look beatable.
Well, really, the only team that can beat them is the Spurs, Rome.
Well,
right now.
Spurs look like the Lakers Supersonics, you know, back in the 90s. That was Achilles' heel.
I was going to say, Aaron wanted it. This is a topic I think he sent on the text the other day are the Spurs the Achilles' heel of this Thunder team? You know, Rome didn't like Aaron and I's Thunder take. He thought it was just a generic take saying they could win 72 games, but,
Yeah, I mean, it looked like they were going to until they lost 3 games in like 2 weeks to the Spurs. Now they got 5 total losses.
Dude, everyone's been losing games this past 2 weeks. It's been nuts. Everyone's dropping like flies. Golden State's trash. I met some Golden State fans here recently.
I know we didn't talk about, but I didn't see it. Just kind of heard about it. But the whole Draymond, Steve Kerr outburst there on the bench. Did you see that, Rome? Got a little more insight?
I did see it. I've talked to the fans here in San Francisco. They've been tired of Draymond Green.
Agree.
And since he's not doing anything for the team, get rid of him. That's been the underlying sentiment here. And then people are like, oh, what do you think about the situation? I'm like, personally, I'm a Laker fan. And everyone's like, oh. And then they get all disgusted. I'm like, but I don't like Draymond Green. But also my favorite basketball player in the history of basketball is Kobe Bryant and Dennis Rodman. And unless he played like Dennis Rodman, I probably wouldn't say anything, but he just talks a little too much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the whole outburst was about. Was it getting benched or... I don't know. I mean, Draymond's been playing bad this year. He's committing, what, like 6 to 8 turnovers a game. I think Steve Kerr's been getting on him. Didn't they just sign him like 2 years ago to like a 5-year extension or 4-year extension worth like 100 mil? Yeah.
Sounds right, yeah.
I don't. Sorry, my producer just talking to me off the mic right here.
Yeah.
He signed a 4-year. He remains through the 20 through this season, 25-26.
Okay.
So
my producer's telling me that her belly is telling her that she's hungry.
All right. She's late than at 9:30.
I just made her food. We stopped by this place called Quick Dog, but she doesn't eat hamburgers. So the chef, I knew the chef, and he made her corn dogs. They're like really good, like hush puppies. She's like, they're okay. She gave him like a middle fingers, like sideways. It was like
you mean a thumb sideways?
A thumb sideways.
Okay, I was going to say middle finger sideways. I
the chef's in her face like, he's like, what do you think? They're pretty good, huh? She's like,
That's why I like kids. That's why I like
humility,
kids.
Humility, dude.
They're still honest.
This guy used to be a chef at a 1-star Michelin restaurant. Now he's running like a quick service spot, but the food's good. But that's why you can't overthink. Corn dogs and hot dogs. Oh, that guy stepped out. I must have missed that. Falcons highlights. All right. Final comments, guys. I'm about to wrap this up pretty soon.
I would say you want to jump on Wednesday to do the college football preview.
What's today?
Today's Monday.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Or whenever you got time, because New Year's Day is Thursday? So that's when all the games go.
New Year's Eve is Wednesday, though.
Yeah. Or you want to do tomorrow night? I don't know.
Yeah, I might have to. Might have to. We'll talk about that off. All right, dude. You're giving me your 6-7 stuff. No. All right. I guess, we'll cover New Year's bowl games in the next day or two. Let me get this out. We'll talk any other. First Wednesday of the new year. Basketball's on the schedule as a new podcast. So let your guy know.
He's ready, man.
You guys can alternate, or you guys can be on it.
I'm going to go there tomorrow. I'll see if he's there. I haven't seen him in a while. He said he just got back from New York.
All right.
He might be a Knicks fan now, as far as I know.
Knicks fan?
You might have jumped off the Laker bandwagon going to New York, you know? You never know, man.
Just a one trip.
Like a guy that would do that, dude. He looks like a guy that
goes
would do
to
that.
New York one time and then just takes a trip and he's a Knicks fan, or who's he living?
He's from New York, isn't he?
I don't know. His sister lives out there, so he goes out there every holiday.
It's like one of these guys that go study abroad one time and then they want to see.
I was just joking. I mean, he's a big Laker guy. I mean, he was telling me, I don't know how he's feeling about the team now, but like the first 2 weeks in the season, he was like, oh, the Lakers could beat the Thunder, but we all know that's not going to happen.
No, still that athleticism, but I don't know. Anything can happen. Giannis can end up a Laker. We'll see. All right, that'll do it for Sources from the Sofa. All right, go ahead. You got the mic. You got 2 seconds here.
Any last words from the producer?
I think the Lamb's giving us the go home sign. Right. It's time to wrap it up.
It sounds like the Lambs. It must be the Rams fan then, right? That's where the old. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Wonderful stuff there. I'll have to do some editing at the end of this one. All right. That'll do it for Source of the Sofa.
Free child labor, Rome. Keep it up, man.
Got it. You got it. Catch us next time. College football preview, round 2, week 18 preview, and all that good stuff. We're out.